Cool Unflustered Beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynn signals it's 10 p.m. Thursday, and it's time for So What's Your Story. It's the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling right here on listener-sponsored 90.1 KPFT. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, professor of communication at the University of Houston downtown, along with Jacob Reiner, Nicole Grady, and Alondra Mayhew. Week in and week out, storytellers, common folks with uncommon stories to tell, take us on astonishing journeys before bringing us back safely to the present. Now, poignant personal narratives are customary fare on So What's Your Story, but they have no monopoly on this program. In fact, esteemed tellers of the tall tale have graced the studios with folk tales and myths, fanciful and fantastic, and have shown us that these traditional models are crafted much like our personal stories. Perhaps the best illustration of this is the myth. What is pronounced in a myth is its function as a potentially responsive and resourceful set of answers to perplexing questions. And if used wisely, the myth, like the personal yarn, can heal the human heart, mind, and soul. Unlike its cousin, the sometimes mawkishly sentimental fairy tale, the myth proposes that a culmination of natural phenomena, including deities and demigods, somehow explain the inexplicable. Just as we recount a troubling episode in our lives, the myth is assembled with images and dialogues, and even an antagonist to blame for our tragedies and woes. So tonight, we're going to mull over the myth with my guest storyteller, Autry International School 10th grader Jeremy Jason, a young man who does something more unusual than anyone I can think of his age. He reads, and he also studies Latin and Greek and Roman history. But what he loves most is storytelling. Jeremy isn't entirely sure what he wants to do for a living, but I'm here to tell you right now, he could be whatever he wants, but he does want to be a history teacher, he thinks. Welcome. I'm glad you're here, but you've been here before, right?
Yeah, I came here 2 years ago to talk about Peace Camp.
Peace Camp.
Yeah, it's a summer camp for kids focused on peace and justice. I was here with another teen counselor and the camp's director, Judy Hoffine.
Beautiful, beautiful. You know, your dad was supposed to hear it here tonight, but he's a chicken. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Did you know that? Yeah, your dad is a fantastic guy, but he's chicken. You see, he and your mom are incredible supporters of this show. We just love him to death. Just love them to death. And the great thank you note gift that your dad received for his incredibly generous donation was to be a guest star on this show. And he said, no. I want Jeremy to be on this show. Because, Hank, regardless of who you have on all week, all year, he will be the star of the year. And that's why you're here. Yes, you are under severe pressure. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now you do. Now you do. But you come from a great family, and I just love having you here. You know, Jeremy, a little bit earlier, I said that you're unusual because kids don't read, and I exaggerated. Of course, kids get a bad rap. We've had a lot of student tellers on this program, and they're all avid readers, and it's sort of a common denominator among those who love stories and those who write well. And I know that you love to write stories as well. But I'd like to know what fascinates you about storytelling.
Well, the reason why I like telling stories is because I really enjoy them. And I feel like I'm entering into a special world where the story takes place. So I like to give others that same feeling of awe and sensation.
Awe and sensation. Talk to me more about that.
Well, basically, when I read a story, I know my world is different from their world, but I like to put myself in their shoes, and I see, you know, huge, ugly monsters that stand in my way of getting the girl and doing whatever you need to do to get things done.
That's what I want to hear, the obstacles. That's what I want to hear about. Now, what do you like about Greek and Roman history?
Like I said, from the outside perspective, I mean, I see monsters, and I'm like, I'm not going to meet any monsters. I have nothing to do with them. But as you really look deeper, you see something that can relate to you. Something that can really touch you in a very deep way.
Yeah. Now, tonight, you're going to be telling us the Greek myth about Theseus. And after you tell the story, I'm going to ask you to explain how it applies to you directly. But first, is there anything that we need to know to better understand the story that you're about to tell?
Well, first, we have to remember this is Theseus as an adolescent, and this is actually before he encounters the Minotaur, which is which he is more famous for fighting.
Any kind of a persona that you want to tell us about Theseus? There's a lot of people out there, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, who don't read Greek myths.
Say what? No.
Yeah, I know.
So he's most famous for fighting the Minotaur, which is, in case you don't know that, it's a half bull, half man.
And trust me, we don't. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So basically, he on his way, he finds out that he never knew his father, and he has to find out his fate. He has to go on and find out his destiny. So he decides, you know, I'm going to go out to Athens and meet my father.
Beautiful. You ever heard the story of Phaethon, son of Apollo, Olivia
Coolidge?
Yeah. Very similar. Very similar. Beautiful. We look forward to it. Tell us the story.
All right. So as I said, Theseus needs to meet his father. So he decides, I'm going to go to Athens and I'm going to find out who my father really is. So he's on his journey, and he realizes that his path that he's taking is the easiest path to get there. There's only one caveat. That path is bombarded with monsters and bandits who are known for their horrendous ways of killing poor travelers who come across the forest. Despite these risks, he decides, you know, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it. So the first bandit he meets is a huge man with a bronze club named Periphetes. And he likes to usually knock his enemies in the head, and that instantly kills them. So what Theseus does, he dodges the blow, and then he grabs the club and conks Periphetes on the head, so that kills him. Not trying to sound like a sadist here, but, you know, that's good. Next is Cenis, which means in Greek, pine bender. And in his garden, he has two trees held together by a single rope. And he likes to tie the ankles to one tree and the hands of a victim to the other tree. And when he pulls the rope, bam, victim in two. So Theseus realizes the trick, and after a minute of, like, you know, struggle, Cenis has been split by the very trees that he used to kill others. The next monster is called the Comedian So, but just to keep it simple, I'm going to call her Phaia. And Phaia is very interesting because she's not a bandit. She's a monster. And she is a giant, giant man-eating pig. So I'd watch out. And everyone's scared to go out lest they be eaten. And so Theseus is like, I'm boss. And he decides, I'm going to kill it with my sword. And with a couple slashes, the pig is dead. The fourth bandit is a very interesting one. His name is Skyron, and he likes to make his victims wash his feet by a cliff and push them off the cliff. And waiting for them is a giant, giant man-eating turtle. So Theseus is like, okay, I see this, so I'm going to play along. And as he's washing Skyron's feet, he grabs them and throws them off the cliff. And Skyron is eaten by the very turtle that he fed. And so I guess you could say Skyron met a snappy end. Ba-dums. Next thing that he encounters is Kirkion. And Kirkion would often challenge his guests in a friendly wrestling match. That's not his intention. He actually means to kill them by strangling them to death. So Theseus, he's like, I've beaten four guys already, so I think I could take down this guy. Not so fast. He gets pinned down. And before he can be killed, though, he actually has the strength to lift Kirkion up and throw him onto a pile of very, very sharp rocks. So, villain number five down. The last bandit is Procrustes, which literally means the stretcher. So he has a nasty habit of, he has a bed and he invites his guests over to sleep in it. Now, If the guest is too big for the bed, he hacks off limbs to make him fit. And if he's too small, he stretches them until they fit perfectly. So Theseus takes a look, and he sees, okay, this guy is a bit too big. Next thing you know, he tackles Procrustes, holds him down, he pins him down, and he hacks off limbs. And Procrustes obviously dies. And so he's like, okay, no more problem. So he leaves the forest. He actually goes to Athens, and he meets his father, who coincidentally is the king of Athens. So they have good father-son time, and then he meets his next biggest challenge. And we all know, well, some of us know this challenge. It's called the Minotaur. And that's my story.
Wow. Let me ask you something. Okay. Give us the takeaway, first of all. I have another question for you, but what is the takeaway? Okay, you have lay people out there who are listening to this great story, and I'm a little familiar with it. However, what is it that you want us to take away from this story? What does the lay person take away? Well, don't worry about how it relates to you, but what do you want us to take away from this?
These bandits actually, they're public enemy number one people, so they're really dangerous. And despite this, you know, no matter how big the challenge is, just go for it. And if you fail, just get back up.
Very good. Okay. It's a simple lesson, but it's made very poignant and very sophisticated through this multi-character tale. Wonderful. Now, tough story. Tough question. You're a teacher. You're looking at 10th graders your age, and they want to know why we should ever study the classics. What do you say to them? Why study the classics?
The classics are an example of rich literature. You don't get this all the time. I mean, literature takes time to perfect and perfect, and you know, not every single piece of literature is actually perfect. Mm-hmm. And so, basically, what I want you to take away from this is that you should look deeper. Look deeper, and you'll find something. And that's what I want you to get.
Yeah, fair enough. Greek mythology, dig deep. This is Hank Rubicek with Jacob Reiner, and you are listening to my guest storyteller, 10th grader Jeremy Jason, on So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 for our friends in Livingston. Jeremy, you're a middle child of two brothers, right?
Yep.
Older Danny, younger Matthew. I know Danny, and how's he doing?
Yeah, he's doing pretty well. He's here with the family, so we're happy about that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And Matthew, what's he into?
Matthew is in a camp in Los Angeles, and it's actually, coincidentally, today is his birthday. So happy birthday, Matthew.
Happy birthday, Matthew. All right. Is he into a Greek mythology, or is this your thing?
A bit. I mean, yeah, he's starting to get into it.
Let's go back to the story that you just told. You know, I asserted that myths help us to figure things out, and I think the story of Theseus did that for you. Tell us how the story relates to you, to Jeremy.
Well,
what's going on in your life that makes you love this story so much?
Basically, Theseus, like I said, is an adolescent, and he encounters these dangerous bandits. And while in our world, like I said, we don't normally encounter half giants and weird bandits, there is some connection between both worlds. Part of adolescence is really just looking at scary challenges and overcoming them. And my life has changed dramatically as an adolescent, and sometimes things can be hard and challenging. Like, you know, recently I just started to drive and didn't turn out too well.
That's a nightmare for your parents, isn't it?
Pretty much. Okay, yeah. That's totally true.
Yeah. Have you seen the insurance bill?
No, and
that's
I do not plan to.
Too. Very good. Just wanted you to know that. Okay.
And
this
also,
it's not scary for you, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, for them.
Yes, very much so.
And I also just had my first job, and my manager, he's nice, but sometimes he can be really scary. So.
Why? How could a boss possibly be scary? I'm saying that facetiously, right? Does he threaten you? Yell at you?
He makes you feel like you're a complete idiot.
Nobody makes you feel anything. You know that.
I know.
You know that, right? Yeah. Nobody makes you feel anything.
Yeah.
Why do you choose to feel however you feel however you choose to feel when he makes you feel that way?
Because I guess I'm entitled to my emotions.
Right. How does he make you feel, though?
He makes me feel like, you know, small, meek, and
that's not good.
I could have always done a better job.
That's not good. But yeah, that's got to be hard. But I'm very, very serious. Nobody really makes you feel it.
No one really makes you. It's really up to you.
You really do. You have a choice to feel any way that you want. And right now, we're going to go from Theseus to Nicole because she feels, because she's the pupil of Jacob. Right? Isn't that a Greek way of phrasing the myth? Right. Who will tell us about our proud sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild. Nicole?
Thanks, Hank. Whether you are a novice or a pro, the Houston Storytellers Guild is the perfect setting for learning to tell or simply enjoy the art of storytelling. Their monthly story swaps are held on the fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Printing Museum, located 1324 West Clay. Check out their terrific site at www.houstonstorytellers.org for all the fun happenings. And be sure to visit us on our So What's Your Story Facebook page for more information about our incredible guest, storytelling events, fun drives, and a whole lot more. And please don't forget, like us on the way out. Back to you, Hank.
Thank you, Nicole. You're in a good mood because you passed this communication course today. She was in my class, and you know she did okay. So she's really happy about that. You did great. All right. Thank you, Nicole. If you have any program ideas, comments about any of our shows, or would like to be a guest on So What's Your Story, shoot me an email at drhank@kpf.org, and Greg Warren or I will get back to you, and we mean it. We really do return emails. Jacob, you're out there. When are you scheduled to be a guest? Because you are going to be a guest, right?
Yes, sir. I am scheduled with Mr. Greg Adell on August the 11th.
Very good. And what's your story going to be about?
I will be talking about my transition from the military to how I met all of y'all. And right. Then also I will be talking about the camaraderie and the brotherhood.
Beautiful. Thank you. We're looking forward to that, Jacob. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Glad you're a part of the group. Absolutely. Along with Nicole Grady on the boards, you know, our newer intern who is not here tonight, but Alejandro Mejia is a person who will be syndicating our program. We're pretty excited about this, syndicating our program so that the only storytelling show originating in Houston becomes a household name wherever you go. Next week, Greg Audell will be hosting Rick Brennan, a former Lanier Middle School teacher and the developer of Historia, a computer game that helps students learn history and geography. And also, I have to say, you, our listeners, continue to rock. Always daunting how caring you are when it comes to our fund drive. You don't care. You donate money anyway. And Jerry Pfister, I wanted to thank you so much for your generous donation. We received that today. You see, we just can't do it without you. And you can help anytime. Just go ahead and get online at www.kpft.org. Then to donation, indicate your form of payment, scroll to So What's Your Story as your favorite show, and we will love you for life. Because we don't want you to tune in and hear, that's right, silence. That would not be good. We don't want that, right? We want to keep it going. This is Hank Rubicek with our team, Jacob, Nicole, and Alejandro, and you are no doubt immersed by a very young man who is extraordinarily well-talented, my guest teller, Jeremy Jason, on the Always Live, So What's Your Story, only on Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1, Houston. You know, just as there are some similarities between a myth and personal narratives, folk tales are also similar to myths, and you and I talked about this a little bit earlier, except they focus on keeping customs and traditions alive. And sometimes a folk tale and a myth create a fusion of tradition and reflection needed to answer puzzling questions. And one of my favorite examples is a story entitled Even Higher, by the Jewish writer I.L. Peretz. He's an incredible folklorist that a good rabbi friend of mine directed me to. And this is a synopsis of the story. It's a story about the rabbi of Nemirov, which was a small little town, a real city in the western Ukraine. And he was a man who the villagers thought went to heaven the evening before Rosh Hashanah, which is, of course, the Jewish New Year. He disappeared, and the villagers didn't know where he was. And this happened every year, the evening before Rosh Hashanah. Now, when he would come back, the villagers would ask, Rabbi, where were you? And he would say, oh, I went to see God because I needed to make sure that he knew that I was here and that I wanted him to forgive me. When Yom Kippur comes around, I wanted him to know how much I loved him, and I wanted him to know that. So I went to see God. And the villager said, oh, my goodness, the rabbi went to heaven, because that's where God is.
Yeah.
And the rabbi went to heaven every year. And they would say the rabbi would go higher. That would be their word. Every year, the rabbi would disappear. the night before Rosh Hashanah, and the people in the village would say, "The rabbi is higher. He's higher." Well, Reuven, who was kind of a young man, about your age, I think he was, and he didn't believe him. He said, "No, I don't think anybody goes up to heaven. I think that's impossible." So what he did was to follow the rabbi into the wilderness. And he followed him and followed him until he saw the rabbi walk up to a cottage, knock on the door. And the door was opened by an elderly woman who was the tailor's widow. And the rabbi walked in, carrying with him food and drink and wine and wood, because she had no heat. And then he would reach outside of the door and bring in all of the blankets that he also brought. And then he followed the rabbi to other homes, little cottages in the wilderness in the village, and he would watch the rabbi bring all of these goods to these people who needed them so desperately. Well, Reuven walked up to the elderly woman and said, "Ma'am, does the rabbi do this every year?" And she says, "Oh, yes. He would never forget any of us, ever. He would never, ever forget us. He goes to every home, and he brings food and wine and clothes and blankets and wood, and he would never forget us." Reuven nodded. He came back, and the villagers were waiting for him and said, "Ah, did you follow the rabbi? Did he, in fact, go higher?" And Reuven said, "Even higher."
Wow. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful story.
That is so
And it
cool.
always, yeah, it always touches me because it's part myth, it's part folktale. It tells us so much about our own personal customs and traditions. But it just, it just reaches deep down in me when I think of that story. There are so many different variations, but, you know, just like Theseus, the story that you shared a little while ago, these are stories that have messages that I don't think can be expressed in any other way other than its natural story form, its genre.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. What'd you think?
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, some things just like you can only word this
yeah.
one way. And,
right. Right.
And that's the and myth is the best way because it's just so colorful, so beautiful,
it
so
is.
Fantastical.
Yeah, you got to use words, and you have to use images, and somehow you have to create them in your mind. And then you have to find the right verbal and nonverbal idiosyncrasies to express them.
Right.
Because if you don't, they're not going to make sense to your target audience.
Right, yeah.
Right? And that's what you do so well. The story that you told really unfolds beautifully in your mind. You think it through. It's chronological, and it's systematic, but you're really painting beautiful pictures when you speak. You do such a beautiful job. Beautiful, beautiful job with that. Wanted to shift gears for a moment as a fledgling young historian. What do you think will be seen as the most important historical event up to this point of the 21st century? Just think about that for a moment. I know it's a tough question, but what do you think? The most significant historical event that you think has occurred so far in the 21st century?
I personally think it would be the creation of the Phoenician alphabet. And I'm going to back that up by saying this written language was spread throughout the Mediterranean Sea. And I think many cultures use this language as a basis to create their own languages, such as Hebrew and Greek and
right.
Arabic.
Right.
And they wrote these stories down and they wrote their history. And so each culture developed its own set of like stories and history, and these languages passed on other languages and etc. So basically, without this language, we wouldn't be able to write down things the same way, and we wouldn't actually be able to translate previous cultures' myths and history.
Beautiful, beautiful assessment. You're absolutely right. I hadn't thought about the Phoenician alphabet, but I know something about it. And you know, I talk about it in my voice and diction class when I talk about the International Phonetic Alphabet and the lot. And your insights are absolutely, absolutely spot on. Now, you love storytelling, so I need to find out, who was the storyteller in your home growing up?
My entire family.
They really were?
They yeah.
just loved telling stories?
They just loved telling
That's
stories.
That's magnificent. And what kind of stories did they tell you?
Some of them were actually, like, some of them were true stories. Some of them were just, like, fantastical stories. Like, for example, true stories, how my mom and dad met.
Yeah.
Danny's, you know, exciting school stories. Oh, this person did this to me. And I did this. And I showed him who I was. And I was like, really? And then my dad always read me bedtime stories, which was pretty nice.
That's great. Yeah. But that's a pretty engaging moment, isn't it? People don't do that much anymore. That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a real connection. You know, storytelling has all sorts of purposes, and one of them is, believe it or not, to bring adults and children together. I mean, they actually connect, right, through language and semantics and words. Beautiful. What kind of stories are your favorite, other than the myths that we're talking about tonight?
Okay, so aside from myths, I don't know. I mean, myths are my favorite, but I really like any story as long as it keeps me engaged. Mm-hmm. Especially history, anything related to history.
Yeah,
because
what kind of stories do you like to write?
Do I like to write? Well, actually, I don't write too often, but right now, actually, coincidentally, I'm writing a kind of like a fantastical story based on you know, religion and certain islander beliefs, and I'm trying to create into a whole story involving signs and everything to create like a perfect fantastical world that I can just go into, and I can really just if I need my time, I can just go into that world and go to the mind of my hero and have something to do there.
Sometimes you can just grab a journal. You ever write down ideas in journals? Because you're the kind of person who's got all of these sensational ideas. You just write them out and worry about generating them later.
Yeah, I actually, I like to think philosophically. And so I actually write down theories that I have about the world and, you know, why things happen. And some things are actually mathematical, like, there are certain things that we don't notice but are actually there. And so, yeah.
You got any shout-outs before we get off the air? You want to let anybody know that you're here and that you're thinking about them?
I just want to thank my family and friends for giving me a lot of support. I especially want to thank my teacher, Tom Carroll, who I spent many hours of fun and countless conversations about the Greeks and Romans. And with all that done, thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, listen, we're going to do this again. Seriously, we are going to do this again. This has been a very cool program. Thanks to you, Jeremy Jason. Your insights about the magic of myths were wise beyond your years, and as well as your skills in telling. Mom and Dad have good reason to be very proud of you. Thank you for being my guest on So What's Your Story? Stories do prove transformative, my friends, and will ultimately rock your world if they haven't already. Embrace them. Scooter is up next with The Inner Side. Complete the backside of the Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day. And while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling out, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story and ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and Warren, Greg, and I will keep bringing them to you. You be good to each other. And don't ever forget that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
Thanks to the generosity of Debbie P., KPFT gets to raffle off a dinner and a show to Democracy Now! Once again. If you've wanted to go to New York for dinner and a show with Democracy Now! But couldn't quite make that $2,000 donation, here's another chance to do it all for a song. $20 per ticket is all we're asking, and airfare is included for the winner. Proceeds from the raffle go towards our fundraising goals for the summer, so you'll be supporting KPFT and maybe you'll win the most affordable vacation you've ever taken. You can get raffle tickets online at www.kpft.org or call 713-526-4000 during business hours for paper tickets. Sales begin on June 20th and continue through 3 p.m. August 10th.